reading. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. So the first reading, Mark 10. They came to Jericho. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with the disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus ben Timaeus was sitting at the side of the road. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and to say, "Heir of David, Jesus, have pity on me." Many people scolded him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the louder, "Heir of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and he said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man. "Don't be afraid," they said. "Get up. Jesus is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus jumped up and went to Jesus. Then Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Rabboni, the blind man said, "I want to see." Jesus replied, "Go, your faith has saved you." And immediately Bartimaeus received the gift of sight and began to follow Jesus along the road. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Be on your guard against foul talk. Say only what will build up others at that moment. Say only what will give grace to your listeners. And 1 Corinthians, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, it is not put on airs, and is not snobbish. It is never rude or self-seeking. It is not prone to anger, nor does it brood over injuries. Love doesn't rejoice in what is wrong, but rejoices in the truth. There is no limit to love's forbearance, so its trust, its hope, its power to endure. This is the word from the Holy Scriptures. Thanks be to God.
As I said earlier, it's the fourth Sunday of Lent. I can't believe Easter is 3 weeks away near the end of April. Where's the time going? So you have little sheets. People picked up little sheets that you've gotten every week through this season of Lent, which has space for keeping notes and then maybe something for reflection on the end. And so far this Lent, we have been encouraged to give up. First of all, to give up stuff, keep a box in your house and keep putting in stuff to get rid of and take it away. But we've been encouraged to give up greed. If you need a sheet, Matthew's handing them out. Do anybody need one? Give up greed, give up envy, and last week, give up entitlement. And by the way, all of these sermons are on the website if you ever want to listen to them again. This week, we're encouraged to give up the need to fix. Give up the need to fix. Now, there are few things in this world that I would more like to do. There are few things that I would like to do more than fixing the world. I would like to fix the world. I would like to fix people. I would like to fix political systems. I would like to fix myself. I would certainly like to fix the church. I would like to fix countries. And on occasion, I would like to fix God. Nothing seems to be working in the world the way I want it to work. Anybody else agree? Yeah. The problem is, who has the right answers? I mean, who is best situated in this world to fix anything? Really? And the fact that I think I can fix anything smacks really of arrogance and hubris, exactly the opposite of what I preached about last week. The reason we can't fix anything is because they aren't really broken, not broken in the way we think of brokenness. Things are the way they are in the world because we're human, we're messy. We're complicated. We will always have opinions and our own ways of doing things. You can't fix that. We're humans, not robots. We think and act. We make mistakes, and we learn and we make more mistakes and we do bad things and make corrections and then try again. That's how life works. Always. I often remember this quote, although I can't remember who said it, where I found it. It's this: evolution moves toward complexity. Evolution moves toward complexity. We have evolved over many millennia to have different cultures, different ideologies, different religions, economies, political and educational systems, and opinions. You can't fix that. It's not fixable. We have to learn to live within all of these differences. We're complicated. We will never fix the world or even ourselves because we're not meant to be fixed. This is simply the way of the world, how it works. The reality of our humanness is never going to change unless we're taken over by AI. We're wired to learn by doing the wrong things. Human beings are wired to learn by doing the wrong things. So I'm going to state the conclusion of my message right up front, and then you can tune me out and just think whatever you want. That's fine. Stop trying to fix situations or other people. You can't fix life because it doesn't need fixing. It simply has to be lived as best we can. The life we are living is the life we have created, and it will keep getting more complicated, not less. The best thing we can do is to keep working on ourselves, to be the best people we can be. This really is the only way to a better world, is if we just have better people. We encourage each other to be better. However, forget about fixing anybody else to be a better person. We need to work on us. What other people do with their lives is their business. What we do with ours is our business. Life is just glorious and messy and challenging and beautiful. It's to be lived in all its chaotic, gritty complexity. That's what it's about. And the only way we can live it well is to sort ourselves out, make mistakes, learn, do better, and grow up. It's not to say we don't need guidance, we don't need community, and that we don't need assistance at times. We all do. And especially in early development. So I'm just going to add a little bit of a caveat here. I'm basically talking about people over 25. That's what I'm talking about today. Kids, youth, and young adults don't always yet have the knowledge, the wisdom, the experience, or the executive brain function to solve all of their problems. They do, however, need to be left to make their own mistakes and learn from their decisions. They need as much autonomy as they can handle. As adults, our growth and autonomy becomes stunted if we allow others to manage our lives or to take care of our problems. And we do serious damage to others when we try to fix them or take over their problems. You know what that results in? Adolescents with grown-up bodies. If we try to fix other people's problems, they won't know how to fix them for themselves. They haven't grown up because they've had too much done for them, or they become emotionally stunted because of damage that was done to them in early years. They haven't yet learned to make good decisions for themselves. And of course, some never will. Some don't have the capacity either physically or morally to make good decisions for themselves. And here's what I'm going to say about that. We need to learn to live with that, not fix it. It is the way it's always going to be. We will mitigate as best we can and learn to live with some really bad actors in this world. That's all we can do. Jesus never felt the need to fix other people. In fact, he was actually not in the business of fixing people, much as we might think he was. His ministry was based on helping people, us, to grow in faith so that we could actually weather the inevitable challenges and storms of life. He didn't stop and heal everyone he saw. He waited until they came to him. Even then, he didn't assume what people needed or how they should be fixed. He asked them what he wanted. Even like the blind man in the story. Now, one would assume when a blind man came to you, he would know what he wanted, what it was to fix him. And that wasn't the case. Jesus, in fact, would have walked by the blind man if it hadn't been for the blind man yelling at him to do something. And he kept yelling. But it wasn't Jesus' practice to go up to anybody and say, "I can fix you." He waited. Asking was the other person's prerogative, not up to Jesus to go and fix them. And if they didn't come to him, and just read the stories, if they didn't come to him or ask him, he didn't offer to fix anybody. He didn't even know. So when the blind man comes up, Jesus says to him, "What is it you actually want? What is it you need from me?" He didn't even assume that he needed his blindness fixed. So if you're someone who is always going around fixing things for others, you are doing one of two things or both. You are not allowing the other person to be an autonomous human being with the right to make decisions for themselves and mistakes, even if you don't like what they choose to do. And you're probably deflecting and not looking too deeply at yourself and the things in your own life that might need some work. Don't ever assume that you know what another person needs. Boy, this is a hard one to fix for ourselves. Not wanting to fix others. Treat adults as adults. They have every right to make the decisions they make, even if you don't like it. Trust that they can ask for help when they need it. And also trust that you are allowed to say no if you need to. If someone is always expecting your help and you give it, you are not really helping, you are enabling. And enabling hinders another's growth. I know it's hard to watch a friend or family member struggling with a problem, and it's really hard to watch them make what you consider bad decisions. You naturally want to help them. You want to make your friends and family members' lives easier and more joyful. You want to help them fix their problems and relieve their suffering. And often you want to fix your own suffering, because when you watch other people in your family suffer, you suffer too. And the problems of those close to us often impact us as well. And we get enmeshed in it. So resist the temptation. Trying to keep a loved one out of harm's way seems like a good idea, except that it doesn't work when people don't want your help. And you know what happens? We become resentful when we offer something to somebody and they don't take it. They don't take our advice. Not everyone wants to change or change in the way you think they ought to. And that's their prerogative as adult human beings. They don't have to change. And despite your desire to help, you can't make people change and you can't fix their problems, even when you have really great ideas and their best interests at heart. Trying to fix others is not fair to them and not fair to ourselves. And when you think about it, most people accept the notion that we can't control other people and we can't solve their problems. But we get sucked into trying to change and fix them because we get confused about whose problem it is. Especially if it affects us. Then we really want to intervene. And sometimes another's problems become ours when we have become enmeshed in their lives. It's really hard to separate the two. Sometimes our desire to help and protect and be the hero clouds our judgment. Sometimes we think we know what's best and foist our ideas upon others regardless of what they want because we haven't asked. And sometimes we hate to be out of control. And when other people around us are hurting, we try to control their lives so that we feel in control. Trying to solve another person's problems can make things worse. It can destroy relationships. It can leave us miserable and create unhealthy codependency. We can be seen as bossy and controlling, meddling in other people's independence and freedom. Now, accepting what's out of our control and that we can't solve other people's problems doesn't mean that we are powerless. In fact, every human being has an incredible amount of power. But staying out of other people, fixing other people's problems, gives us the energy and the insight we need to work on ourselves. We are powerful. We can solve our own problems and change whatever we need to within ourselves. So don't offer solutions and don't even give advice unless it's asked for. Now, there are occasions when you can say to somebody when they're struggling, "Is there anything I can do? How can I support you?" And then wait for their answer. And if they say, "No thanks," or "I don't know right now," accept their answer and move on. Don't force yourself on another person. Sometimes it's downright presumptuous for us to assume that we know what someone else needs or wants. Our efforts to help may actually be conveying this very message: I know how to solve your problems better than you do. I don't trust your judgment or your abilities to be an adult. And you appear to me to be incompetent and unmotivated to change. We become resentful then when people don't appreciate what we are trying to do for them. We also deflect from our own problems, which we can't fix either, because life is not a fixable problem. Have I said that before? Life is not a fixable problem. Instead of doing things for other people, we need to allow them to live their own lives, make their own decisions, make their own mistakes, and deal with the consequences of their choices, even though we don't like their choices and we see the pain that the consequences is giving them. Not only does this free us up to focus on what we can control, it respects. It's a very respectful thing to do for other people, to allow them to make their own decisions. That having been said, there are a few occasions when you can help. When you're asked. You can help when you're asked. Or when somebody else has identified to you a need and they're asking for your assistance. But it's always important to let the other person decide what it is they need, and it may not be the thing that you think they need. Not what you want to offer them. Always ask first. Don't offer people something they don't need. And even when you do offer something, you can't fix it. You might influence a little bit, but they still have the right to choose what they want. And you can stay out of it after that. In all cases, when somebody's in trouble or has a problem, start with the determining, first of all, if it's your problem or it's their problem. And then stay out of it if it's their problem and stay quiet until or if they come to you. Life is a lot less messy that way. As the writer of Ephesians says, say only what will build others up at that moment. And trying to fix somebody when they haven't asked never builds somebody up. It only tells them you don't believe they can do it. In one of the most famous passages of the Bible, the author says that love is patient and kind and trusting. It is the kindest, most patient and trusting thing to do when you convey to another that you believe they can look after themselves and make their own decisions without your interference. Like Jesus, let's consider the possibility that we don't need to fix anybody. Treat others as the beautiful, capable, lovable human beings that they are. And so our role is to be compassionate, loving, and supportive as others make their way through life, and to take full responsibility for our own lives, making the best choices we can to fulfill our own potential, living with grace and trust. The world is messy. It doesn't need to be fixed. We're messy. We don't need to be fixed. So let's just determine to live our best lives and leave others to live theirs. Let's take a moment for reflection.